The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
He's wonderful to us, but how many people do we know that God has been good to and they've forgotten the benefits of God Almighty? The Word of God says, don't forget His benefits. There is a benefit to knowing that when you take your last breath, that you can have confidence that you'll be in the presence of the Lord. No one wants to talk about that these days, but you know, there's a great confidence in knowing that no matter what you have go on in your life, you're going to be healed. Ultimately, you're going to be healed. Ultimately, you're going to be at peace. Ultimately, you'll be walking on the streets of gold. Ultimately, you'll be able to go back and see for yourself the scriptures that you've been studying, that you've been reading about. You can go ask the masters. Amen? How many of you like to talk to Adam and Eve a little bit? I bet you ladies would like to, right? I like to talk to Adam a little bit and say, hey, why weren't you protecting your wife a little bit more? Right? Don't eat that, you know. But God has been good to us, and I hope through this message and those watching by now, let's welcome our extended River family, amen. Those that couldn't be here this morning, but we pray for them. There's several people that are in our oikos that we're ministering to. There's several people that I'm expecting to be here. There were several people that I was looking for this morning to give a free donut to, and they missed out on their blessing again. That's their choice. I'll have to maybe have an extra donut. You'll have to take an extra donut home. Thank you, Sister Connie, for picking up those donuts this morning. God bless you for that. We were blessed with some yummy chocolate cake ones and some fritters. And let me tell you, those are yummy critters, aren't they? And so we continue to lift up our pastors and people that we know and people we've been talking about that need prayer. And I'm glad you're here because it's important that we fellowship together. In these times, a lot of people think that pastors are just trying to build churches and be the mega church and be somebody in the community and everything and look at us and be the big bag of Doritos. And really, the heart of a pastor is that we help buoy everyone together to fellowship, to grow together, to pray together, to lift each other up together. And that in turn builds a large group of people that are fellowshipping with the Lord, that want to fellowship with each other. Are you here? There's a difference between just come to church because I got to this morning versus when you wake up this morning, you know, I'm going to go to church. Amen. I want to go to church. When I got up early this morning, it wasn't, oh, I got to get up and got to minister. No, I've got to get up. No, it's I wanted to get in His Word. I wanted to get in prayer. And I wanted to get here this morning. I wanted to be in prayer from 9 to 9:30. I wanted to be praying. I wanted to be practicing on the praise team. I wanted to be praying for all of you that are listening. I wanted to prepare my heart. I didn't want to just come in and eat a donut and that's my day. Life's more about just donuts. It's about serving the Lord, making a lifestyle's commitment to the King of Kings. Is He your King? And it's a question that I've been asking people because there's a difference when you're serving the Lord. If He's the Lord, are we serving Him? I've told many of you, say that Jesus is Lord. Amen? And so let's get in the Word of God and let's pray for those that are listening. Let's pray for each other and bless this time this morning. Amen? So Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for those that have made their choice now to be listening, those that are in a sanctuary, that we would get Your Word and let it get in us and help us. And bless this time, Lord, as we read Your Word and speak Your Word. We pray for those that are sick this morning. We pray for the prodigal sons this morning, the prodigal daughters that are on the wayward path, Lord. Would You bring them and show them that You allow U-turns in their life and that they would be able to be blessed and be able to partake in the fatted calf, Lord. We just pray that they would come to their senses quickly before it's too late. Lord, open up our eyes and let us arise and shine to who You called us to be and who You sent His name is Jesus, to be honored and to be gloried in our lives. Not false kings and false gods, but the true King, Jesus, is who we come to worship. And we pray to you, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of those around us that we may see clearly in these days. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen, hallelujah. So go with me. I've got some scriptures for you today. You know that we always got some scriptures because that's what we preach here. We preach Jesus. If Jesus be lifted up, he'll draw all men to himself. So if he's still drawing and we're still lifting up Jesus, then that means there's a whole bunch of people rebelling. Hello? Because we preach Jesus here. And God can't lie. His word doesn't lie. And as we lift up Jesus, you got two choices. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving manna. You're serving self or you're serving the Lord. And it's time just to call it out as it is, because it's time to buoy them and compel them, go to the hedges and the highways and quit playing around and love people to the truth. And say, listen, you want to see change? We've got the answers. Amen. Not because of our own knowledge, but here's the Bible. And so go with me into Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18, towards the third of your book. Jeremiah chapter 18. Are you there? Yep. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. In my Bible, it's around the 1080 mark. Let's begin reading. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, not from your favorite TV preacher, not from Facebook, not from mama, not from daddy, not your famous prophet, not your favorite TV evangelist. The word which came to Jeremiah directly from the Lord. It's time that we hear from the Lord today. Not from who we lift up on pedestals. We need to get back to the basics and get in this Bible and understand who we should be listening to. The Word of God says in verse 2, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. You're in Warsaw right now. And you're well. And you're able. I get it if you're sick. I get it if you're out of Warsaw. I get it if you're out of town. There are ways to get you here. You want to be here, there's ways to get you here. You want change in your life, there's ways to get you in the potter's house. Come on, somebody. Amen. Everybody that I'm speaking to has access to a vehicle in this house. There's ways to get people here, to compel them to the hedges and the highways. Amen? It's time to invite and share the gospel of the more excellent way. Are you here? The days are near when Christ will return. Now either you'll see him in the clouds coming back, up we'll go, or it might be the time when he says, your mansion's ready. And neither one of those, you don't know the time nor the hour. Hello? You don't know when your last breath will be. So why should we wait? I was in that camp. Oh, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time to get right with the Lord. Till I saw one of my classmates kill himself. I got plenty of time to get right until I saw a classmate run his vehicle off the road. I got plenty of time until I hit a utility pole head on and turned my F-150 into a V-shaped in the front end. I got plenty of time until I got hit with a shot put in my head with all kinds of stitches on the outside and inside. You don't know. You don't know when the Lord's coming back for you. The Bible says it's better to go to a funeral than to a party. Paraphrasing that part. Right? Why? Because it gets our attention on where we're going to spend eternity. Now, let me tell you, this is a happy message, but we've got to get people's attention. Are you here? I got a blinking there. Okay. Technical difficulties. Can they hear me? Not at all. Okay. We've got to wake the sleepers. Arise and shine. Arise and go down to the potter's house so you can do what? So you can have donuts this morning? No. Arise and go down to the potter's house. So there's a time coming that everyone needs to hear the words, his words, not my personal words. This is capitalized my as in Jesus, God's word. Arise and go. It's time to wake them up. Arise and shine, the Bible says. Right? And we've been talking about a lot with Gideon about how Gideon doubted his calling. How Israel had did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God sent a prophet to wake some people up. Said, listen, he already brought you out of bondage. Why are you going back to what I brought you out of? Why are you going back to that? See, people don't want to, they don't want a prophet. They don't like a prophet. They want a happy-go-lucky preacher. They want me to tell you nice things and bring you donuts and bring you coffee and extra creamer and tell you that everything's okay in the world. And it's not. It's a mess. The world has done evil in the sight of the Lord. You are blessed. I got it. You're saved. I got it. Praise God for all of you that are listening. But you got to understand, you're living in a nation that has turned their back on the Lord and on exit stage left, that's doing everything they can to take this away from you and everything around you. And there's no huge amount. There's a great number. But there's a declining number of those that are forgetting that message. The feel-good message is here. I'm all right, you're all right, everybody's all right. Oh no, we live in a nation that is turning their back, going away from God. And maybe we need a prophet in the land. Maybe we need a messenger in the land because it wakes people up to get to the house of God and quit playing around. You need to be in church and you know you need to be in church.
That's right.
Your kids need to be in church because if your kids aren't in church now, wait till they're 13. Come on, somebody. You know I'm preaching the truth. If your kids are out of church now from 5 to 12 and they're not trained in the way they should go and hearing God's word, you're going to have your hands full at 13 and you're going to be praying to God wishing you would have done things different. Thank God. God aligned everything that we had a son when we started living right for the Lord. Because if I'd have raised a son in my 20s, he wouldn't have been serving the Lord like he needed to be. I'd have been training him in the wrong way. But God knew. And now I have a son that's serving the Lord. I have a son who's reading his Bible morning and night.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. At 13, he reads his Bible more than I did from 13 to 20, 25. What does that say? Train a child in the way they should go so when they're older, they'll not depart from the way. That's your only chance. Otherwise, you're going to be raising children that are totally away from God, and you're going to have your hands full of rebellious little critters. That's just one parent speaking to the parents and grandparents out there. You got to start now, or you're going to be in big trouble. You want to have this Bible in this house, not in those ones that got the bars. Are you hearing me? People don't want to hear a man of God talking like this, but you know, I'd rather train my child now than me have to go visit them at jail or go visit them in prison because they didn't hear the word of God. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. You know why? Because here in this house, we're going to talk about the Lord. It's not my opinion. I don't have an agenda. It's just ministering the word of God. But somebody and you have got to go. You've got to realize who you are in Christ. I had to realize who I had to get a revelation of who I am in Christ and get bold about it. As I'm getting older, I'm realizing I'm running out of time. I don't know the hour. I don't know the time. Next verse. Then I went down to the potter's house. Here's where I found myself years ago. Outside the will of God, out on the fringes, and I decided to make a choice for change. If you want change, get in the Word. If you want change, get in a Bible-believing church. If you're tired of church hurt, you're tired of the junk at church, you're tired of the falseness, get in this church and get connected to this church, because this is where you find liberty. This is where you find freedom. This is where you find peace. This is where you find your joy back.
Amen?
Amen? You're getting in the house of the Lord. If you want change, it's here. You see, I've been talking about, I'm in a series right now, if you haven't been able to tell, about breaking the chains, breaking the cycle, breaking the blessed, lack, doubt, fear, crying out, blessed. See what I'm saying? It's time to get consistent in his house. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was. That's right. Jesus was in the house, and he changed my life. You're like, oh, you just fell and hit your head again. How many of you, when you gave your heart to Christ, did people start mocking you and say, well, I'll give that a year. I'll give that 2 years. That's all right. You'll come back to your senses like the rest of us. Oh, no. Many, many years of serving the Lord now. And at some point in time, you have to tell yourself, I ain't going back.
That's right.
Huh? Right? Right, remnant? Because the remnant is going forward.
Amen.
And the rest of them need to get in line with his word, because we're going somewhere with the Lord. It doesn't matter if there's 10 of us or 200 of us. You're either on the Lord's side or you're on the devil's side.
That's right.
Choose. Right? I choose to be blessed.
Amen?
Amen? I'm going to be blessed, and since people don't listen to me, I guess we'll have to show them. Huh? Right?
Right.
If they're not going to listen to you, I guess I got to show you, because I'm tired of holding back. Maybe that was wrong. Maybe I need to repent of that, of trying to be humble. But you know what? If they're not going to listen, I'm just going to go forward and say, let the light shine.
Amen.
You want to be blessed? Figure out how I got there. Well, wait, you don't have to figure nothing out. Let me show you. I went down to the potter's house, and Jesus was there, and I got set free, and I'm blessed, and I'm highly favored.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter. Are you here? He had to make me into a new vessel. You see, we were born into sin, and people don't realize it. We were born with the Adamic nature. It's in us to defy God, where we would rather choose sin than serving God. Our flesh is at enmity with God. Your flesh doesn't want to praise the Lord. Who are you kidding? Your spirit's crying out for you to praise the Lord, but your flesh doesn't want to. Your spirit wants you to come to church, but your flesh says, nah, I'm more comfortable in my lazy boy recliner. My legs hurt. My back hurt. I don't feel good. But your spirit says, get in the house of the Lord and be healed. Yes. Create change in your life. Be blessed. Amen? Next verse. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it. And if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Wait a minute. What happened to the God of love? What happened to the all things are good for me? I can do all things. What happened to here the Lord's getting serious? You know why? It's because we have nation after nation, home after home, family after family, state after state, city after city that's blessed of the Lord and turning back. Blessed of the Lord and turning back. Blessed of the Lord and turning back. And it's time to get all in for God. Amen. Or go live the best life you're going to live, because this is the only heaven you're ever going to know. And people don't want to hear that either. It's like, well, where's the love? I'm going to show you the love. Because if we would humble ourselves, I'm going to show you. God will help you. God will fix things. He's faithful. Amen? I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him in my life. If that nation against whom I've spoken turns from its evil. Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Remember what we read last time? Judges chapter 6? Are you seeing the United States doing evil? We're a nation. We're a nation. You're blessed, you're highly favored, you're saved, you're born again, but you're living in a nation that's turned its back on the Lord. Yep. Be careful. Don't be not watching. You better be watching. If that nation against whom I've spoken turns from its evil, in other words, God allows you turns, a whole nation can make a U-turn. Did you know that? Needs a prophet to tell them and speak out. And then God's going to assign some people to help the nation do a U-turn. Gideon. Amen? Didn't we read last time that He's sending you? How beautiful are the feet of those that spread the good news of the gospel? You have something in you that they need. I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to build and to plan it. And if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of you, from his evil way. Return now, every one of you, from your evil ways, and make your ways and your doings good. Cry it loud from the rooftops. Turn from the evil. Turn from the junk. Turn from the mixing and blending. Turn from the gods of who you make them. Turn from this demonic worship and get worshiping the true God, Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways and you're doing good. That should be the cry. Turn. Turn. You want change. Turn. Come on, how many of you want change in your family? Right. Turn. Turn. That was the cry and the prayers of a lot of people for this guy. And man, I didn't see it. I told you I was like Saul. My eyes were clouded. My ears were clogged up. didn't hear the Word of God, couldn't see it, living a lifestyle that was displeasing to God. So what happens if you're living a life displeasing to God? Is that good or is that evil? Evil, right? And look what happened. Look what happened. In my Bible, there's a big title here. Big deal. Big letters. It says, God's warning rejected. Hello? You're living in a nation that is falling away from God. And if we don't raise the banner, if we don't stand up, and we don't tell people more excellent way, I'm not saying you got to beat them on the head and thump them, you sinner. No, it's like, do you recognize that you've fallen short and there's a more excellent way to live in? Where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell? Which one do you want? Well, I'm a good person. Okay. Yeah, I'm a pretty good person too. I gave some people some food and make some jars of jelly and doing good works, but that don't get you to heaven. Mowing the yard, trimming, helping, you know, helping fix a tire, that's all great, but that don't get me to heaven. I've got to repent and turn and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? Are you here this morning? I'm wanting to get your attention, and then I'm going to switch this for you. Because there's a lot of Christians that are like what we read in Gideon, where they're drinking water with their head down low. I was one of them. Head down low and not watching for the ambush. Not paying attention to what's really going on. And we're blessed. I get it. But this whole nation is not fully blessed because it's serving other gods. You have come out and you are separate from it, but not everybody has. And there's going to be a wake-up call for some if they don't get right. And that's my concern from what I'm getting from the Scriptures is that God is a God of mercy and a God of love. I get it. But He's going to give you time and space to repent. Once that is done, the hourglass is ticking. You only have so much time and so much space, and then it's like, oh, that's it. That's it. I gave you warning. I warned you. I warned you and I warned you. America, I warned you. Warsaw, I warned you. Church family, I warned you. Get your homes right. Get your lives right. God's not playing. You don't want to be a Matthew chapter 7 church. You don't want to be a Matthew chapter 7 family where you go, well, I'm all right, you're all right, and you're the only one that's going. The rest of them are still sitting here when the rapture comes. Right? People are like, gosh, why you got to talk like this? We got to shake the tree a little bit and wake some people up because they're not seeing what the Scriptures say. I'm all right, you're all right. But look what the Word of God says. It says, and they said, this is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Says everybody that had something better to do this morning, at the festival down the road, at the golf course down the road, at the finish tournament down the road, while their families are on track to go to hell, and they're good, but they're not worried about anybody else. It sounds like a harsh word, doesn't it? But the reality is that if we don't do something as born-again believers, who is gonna, right? So that's the wake-up call because there's a cycle. So I'm teaching that because here's the cycle. Israel did this. I see United States doing this. I see families doing this. I see people giving their heart to Christ and get baptized and go right back into the mess. And it's a vicious cycle. And it's like, what are you doing? Turn from your evil ways. Don't go back to the junk. Get right with the Lord and take a step and say to yourself, I'm not going back. Break the cycle. The cycle of fear and doubt that came in to Gideon's camp. Break the cycle. The watching versus not watching. Break the cycle. It's time to watch, but don't be fearful. It's time to watch, but be blessed. It's time to watch, but share the gospel. It's time to act like Gideon and stand up in your calling. Are you here? Because there's a cycle of fear that comes in. There's a cycle of doubt that comes in. There's a cycle that has been going on way too long. God's warning is continuing to be rejected. And it's only going to last so long. If you've learned anything from Pastor, he has shown us in the Scriptures how things are lining up. Amen? So if he's showing us in the Scriptures, student of the Bible, mighty man of God, full of wisdom and knowledge of what the Lord has taught him, and he's imparting that to us so that we are waking up to smell the coffee, and we do nothing with it, and we sit on our hands and close our mouths and act in fear and head down and not prepared, not watching, who's in disobedience? He has done what the Lord has showed him to tell us. We then, it is on us to pay attention, have our eyes open, be wise, be watching, be wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves, right? Be concerned for our neighbor. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. Love your neighbors yourself. How can you tell me that everything's all right with you and the Lord and you hate your neighbor? I'm still dealing with people on this. Oh, I'm born again. I know you believe in Jesus, but you got some things we need to prune off you. They walked according to their own plans. Many people today walked in their own plans. By 2 o'clock, they're going to be going to a beer garden and walking to their own plans. Hello? Some of them are going to sit in churches this morning, praising the Lord, hearing the Word of God, going to the potter's house, and as soon as they get done, change the clothes and hit the beer garden. Turn. That path is dangerous. That path isn't the narrow path. Wide is the path. Remember what the Bible says? Wide is the path that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path. Right? Narrow is what we're looking for. They continue to do what they wanted to do. That was my problem. And I think that's a problem today. I think it's the cycle that continues. And it doesn't sound like it's that encouraging, but it wakes us up to reveal the season that we're in. We wonder why we're living in perilous times. Why? Because people continue to go their own way and disobey what the Word says. That's just truth. I know I'm not getting too many amens this morning, and you're looking for that warm, bubbly message, but I'm setting the stage because we've got a work to do. And let's go to the next verse. Judges 6, what we talked about last time, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord, what's it say in your Bible? Right there on the screen. Delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. When you play on the fringes, you're going to find yourself getting bit sooner or later. Right. So we already covered Judges chapter 6. But it's the cycle. Solomon's day. Look at Noah. In Matthew chapter 24, you can read it. It talks about, just as in the days of Noah, so it will be with the Son of Man. The people were marrying, going to festivals, I'm sure. I don't know if they had golf back then. I don't know if they had fishing tournaments back then. I probably doubt it. You know, maybe some rock throwing contest or something. Maybe who can throw the log the furthest, maybe, or something. Who knows back then? But they were marrying and giving in marriage and doing all the things. And they were oblivious to the times they were in. We'll go into Matthew chapter 4 on Wednesday because we're not going to have time today. But they're oblivious to what was going on. And it's going to be like that again. And people are just living their life, the best life ever, and not paying attention to the times, not paying attention to what God says, not living lives that are pleasing to God. He's seeing things, I'm sure, today that just appalls him. But you know what? There's nothing new under the sun. If it was going on then, and it will be just like in the days of Noah, do you think that we're repeating history again? There's going to be some that were oblivious, not watching, living the life they want to do. And God says, I'm closing the door. But right before that, Noah gets his family all in the ark. Come on. I'm throwing you some really, really big nuggets this morning. Before the door shut, Noah built his ark for his family. It's time for you to get your family into the ark. Let it rain. The rain's coming. The rain's coming. Don't wait till you feel the raindrops. It's time to get right with the Lord and bring your family into the ark of safety. Hello? They're running out of time. They're doing everything they want to do, and it's time for you to be the spokesman like Noah. I built the ark. We got all the food you need. We got all the provisions you need. We've lined this thing with pitch, and we've got all this everything secure. We got the animals. We got the water. You better get in quick. You better get to the potter's house. You better get to the ark. You better get right with the Lord. You better turn. You better do it quick because you're running out of time. The big hourglass is hitting. You see, it's the call. It's the cry. It's my cry. You're not shouting. A few amens. Maybe there's some amens on the broadcast. But it's the call because I know what happened when God shut the door to the ark. That ought to make you concerned. Yeah. That ought to wake us up and say, we are running out of time, folks, because the land is doing evil in God's sight. It's just like in the days of Noah. It's happening right before us where they were doing everything. They're liking pornography. They're into witchcraft. They're into all this junk. They're into these nasty comic books. They're into these nasty witches and warlock stories and all these things. And it's evil in the sight of the Lord. You got Christians dressing up in Halloween, getting ready to buy all their Wiccans and witches and all that thing. And they're playing Christian one day and get ready to celebrate the evil one with Halloween the next. We have people that say they're Christians but got hate still in their heart. The bondage of hate and hurt is still hanging on. Let go of it. Let go of the weight. When that door shut, the rain came. Can you imagine what Noah heard? Help! I should have listened. Help me. I should have listened. I'm ready for my correction. I'm ready to repent now. I'm ready to make things right. Too late. Too late. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I see people living this lifestyle displeasing the Lord. I don't have everything. I'm not perfect. I got to repent on a weekly basis. Make sure things I know, things I don't know. Sins of omission, sins of commission. Make sure you're all right with the Lord. So when you take your last breath, you can be confident in knowing that you're to be present with the Lord and not sitting down at the gates. I say all this because it's very important. It's become a cliche, but people aren't paying attention to it. And go clear down to 2 Chronicles for me. For sake of time, we'll go through Judges. You all know this verse. I bet you every one of us has heard this at least 10 times. But let's go through the scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Go to your left from where you're at in Jeremiah. about 300 or 400 pages. Second Chronicles, just before Psalms, before Job. Keep going to your left in your Bible, Esther, Nehemiah, Ezra. Then you'll get into Second Chronicles. It's around the 600s in my Bible. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Verse 14. Biggest word in the Bible. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. There's A right there, number one. You want change, you want to fix problems, you want people to get on your ark, you want to help people, you want to help people get free, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys to get into the ark. I'm giving you the keys, everyone watching me at the sound of my voice, I'm giving you the keys to help you and this nation and your family and your family's family and your children and your children's children. But we must obey this voice and not just hear the voice. Be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Come on, somebody. If you don't apply this Bible, this is not powerful to you. It only becomes powerful to you when you apply it to your life and say, you're expecting me to humble myself, Lord? Yes. Be obedient. If you're not obedient, you're disobedience, and that's not good. Okay? That ain't going to get you anywhere. Okay, you know the scripture. Many people can put this all over Facebook. If my people... I got an idea for you. How about you pray? How about 7:14 in the morning you start praying once in a while? Amen. How about 7:14 in the evening you pray for a little while?
Amen.
We'll start out at 7 seconds maybe. Maybe you can get up to 7 minutes. That you set aside time. Remember all the way back to Leviticus? Setting time in the morning, setting time on the edges of your field. Are we praying in the morning?
Amen.
Are we praying in the evening? Are we reading our Bible in the morning? Are we reading our Bible in the evening? That's what the daily devotion is teaching us, is to get in that Bible and discipline yourself to hear the Word of God at the start of your day and the end of your day. Now, if you're a third shifter, maybe that's 11 o'clock at night. I don't care what time it is, but when do you wake up? Maybe you wake up at 10 o'clock. Okay. Wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and get to church on Sunday mornings. Well, there I am pushing again, aren't I? Why? Because I know that's what changed my life.
Amen.
I'm not saying it to have the biggest church in Kosciuszko County. I'm saying it because it changed my life. It's why me and my wife are married. It's why I have a son. It's why my finances are blessed. Am I a millionaire? No. But I don't have any lack either.
That's right.
I haven't missed any meals. Look at me. Are you here? I'm trying to warn, but also encourage every one of you to wake everybody up, but also to tell anybody that will hear me that there's a more excellent way. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for someone who feels hopeless right now. If you got family members that think life's hopeless, I'm trying to point them in the right direction they should go. And if I don't point them in the right direction that they should go, why should I have any expectation for you to point them in the way they should go? Wouldn't that be a hypocrite of me? Would be, wouldn't it? Oh, you go. You go do the work. I'm pastor. I'm gonna stay here. You go into the community and find ways to bless your neighbors. You find ways to get involved in community activities. You find ways to help this person or go look for ways to. Aren't I right there with you? You see, I'm learning too that I can't stay in the four walls anymore. You got to get out of the ark. You got to get out of the walls of your own and search and seek who you can find these days. How can I have a part in someone's life? If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. There's number two. First step, humble yourself. I need the Lord. I ain't got everything figured all out. I'm not everything in a bag of Doritos. I'm not everything in a bucket of chicken. That's what that's saying. You need the Lord. You don't have it all figured out, no matter how smart, however much money you got. You still need the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Humble yourself. Now you got to go to prayer. Oh, no. You pray, Pastor. You pray. No. This is not just for me. It's for you. You pray. You want to see change? You pray. I remember not too long praying with some other men here. We were praying in the gap for an individual. That's what we do.
Amen.
I remember praying over here for an individual. I remember praying over here for an individual. Because that's what we do. We pray and we come together when two or three are gathered in His name. Doesn't the Word say that there He is in the midst?
Hallelujah.
We pray together. It's important in your homes, in your family, together, corporately. Number three, here's what God's saying to do. He's giving you conditions. You want change? You want to see things change? Number three, seek my face.
Amen.
Not go seek the little green fish today. Not go seek the golf tournament today. Seek Him. I know these are challenging, but this is God's Word.
Amen.
Number four. Uh-oh. What's number four say? Uh-oh. And turn from their wicked ways. You mean I can't have my cake and brownies and sin too? You mean I can't have my cakes, my cake donuts on Sunday morning and my sin this afternoon? You mean I have to come out and be separate from that stuff?
Amen.
You mean I can't watch that stuff on TV anymore?
Right.
You mean I've got to be in season, out of season? Hey, here we are. Humble yourselves, pray, seek His face, turn from their wicked ways. Then, so all these things, these four things, are you're either obedient to or you're disobedient to, or the Lord is pruning you and molding you and shaping you as the potter's wheel. Say, listen, the first you didn't want to do any of that. Hello? But I'm going to make a new. I'm going to put you on the potter's wheel. I'm going to make a new Corey. And I'm going to help him get humbled a little bit. Hello? And then I'm going to work on him some more, the new Corey. I'm going to help him want to pray.
Yeah.
Because some of us have a problem with prayer.
Amen.
Some of us have a problem with dedicating time for prayer. Hello? The new creation, you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The new one is going to get molded and shaped in the potter's hand that wants to pray.
Right. Amen.
Come on. I told you I was going somewhere this morning. If He can do it for a whole nation, surely He can do it for you.
That's right. Amen.
Or will you go your own way and don't want to listen to the Lord? Because you can fight the potter's wheel, or you can jump on the potter's wheel. Come on, I know it's warm in here, but that's shouting right there. You either stay away from the potter's wheel, or you can embrace the potter's wheel and watch good change happen in your life.
Hallelujah.
It's right there. It really is that simple. Not trying to preach hard to anybody, not trying to put anybody down, but if you really want change, right here it is. Because then the Lord says, I will hear from heaven. So when it says turn from their wicked ways, you realize that the Bible says that sin separates us from God. Do you realize the Bible says that? I never realized that. I just thought God hears all of our prayers. He always hears, forgive me, I'm a sinner, I need you in my life. But turn from their wicked ways. So if my sins have separated me from God, how can I expect to go to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. Don't you know that? You are good people. But doing good things doesn't get you to heaven. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. That's what your word says. Well, I don't know if that's what that says. That's what your word says. You either trust in what the Lord says. He says, if you will do these things, He will forgive their sin locally, at your home, in your state, in your city, in your county, in your nation. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God will do it. But it takes the first four. We want to skip the first four. And if you're not going to be obedient to His word, you're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Do you want change? I want change for my house. I want change for your house. You watching me today, I want change in your house, but it's going to take being obedient to the word of God. Well, I just want a feel-good message. I got it. Motivational speaker. You can watch it on TV. Here we're going to speak the truth in love. That if you really want change, there has to be something that changes in us and jumping on the potter's wheel. When you jump on the potter's wheel, God can take that first one and He can just reshape it and it'll be beautiful in His eyes. Are you here today? So I'm going to close with this. Let me take you now. Are you seeing the pattern? Sin separates you from God. Sin opens the door to evil. Evil rules your life. Then lack comes in. Then the Midianites come in. Then the junk comes in. The fear comes in. Are you seeing the picture of the last three or four messages? It's all around us. Wake up and smell the coffee. But you have something that they need. Now you can maybe get shot in a little bit. You seem kind of quiet. Because it's revealing the situation that God has placed you in. Your mission field is tough. Amen. Come on. I need more than one amen on that. Because your mission field is darn right ugly. And it's horrible sometimes. And it's struggling sometimes. But there's something in you that's greater than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And let me remind you, though you live in this area, you're not of this area.
That's right.
So there's something that we need to get a hold of then. I woke you up a little bit, I hope. I hope I've helped some people. Several of them probably tuned me out and didn't want to hear that. They wanted to make me feel good message. But when I got on the potter's wheel, there's a lot of things that really irked me. A lot of things that I was doing that the word challenged me on in my behavior, in my thought process, in my life, in my family's life. Things that I didn't know. I believed in the Lord. I gave my heart to the Lord. But then He revealed things that were displeasing to Him. That's the potter's wheel. That's growth. And every one of us are on different levels of growth. I can't expect a 5-year-old to eat the same as a 15-year-old. Right? A baby has milk, but at some point in time, it's time for you to get off the milk and get some sustenance in you and have some mac and cheese, some tuna salad sandwiches, and we move up to some steaks and some cheeseburgers and some pizza. I don't feed my son a bottle every night. The boy wants steak now. My grocery bill goes up. He's eating more, right? He didn't read morning and night his Bible when he started either. Now, there's a few times where Dad's got to nudge. Dad's got to do that. Just so you know. Hey, what'd you read in your Bible today?
Nothing.
Oh, good. Guess what we're doing? Shut the TV off. We're going to spend the next 15 minutes. Let me help you out. Oh, have you done the devotional yet? Yeah, I did that and I did tonight's. Okay, good. Let's find something else to read. We don't want to skip out on tonight. How have you been praying today? Oh, yeah, I'm always praying. Okay, what are you praying about? Well, Potter's Wheel. Dad's? How much time we've been on our phones and games and Facebook versus in the Bible? Ouch, yeah, I know, but that's Dad. That's Dad, that's Potter's Wheel going, listen, I got to help you out. You see, I'm a pastor in my home. If I can't be a pastor in my home, I can't be a pastor standing before you. Come on. It's okay for you to amen that one. Because there's a lot of people that are trying to be in pulpits and let everyone else do it and being hypocrites. And I have to be in my own house. I think there's a scripture about that. So now I'll get you happy. Acts chapter 3. You're living in a land that is repeating the cycle. You're living in a land of people that are in lack that don't know how to get out. You're living in a time where people are hopeless and don't know which way to turn. You're living in a land that don't know how to get out of their mess. You're living in a land that's turned their back on God. And you have something in you that you have to be willing to share. And you're not going to be willing to share if you doubt your call. You're not going to be willing to share if you're not in prayer. You're not going to be willing to share if you're not on the potter's wheel. You're not going to be willing to help your community. You're not going to be willing to help your family. You're not going to have anything to offer to anybody if you yourself will not get on this potter's wheel with me and allow God to form you in the image that he's looking for. Verse 3, Acts chapter 3, are you there? Amen? Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. I wonder how many times this daily was. What kind of cycle of life is this staying outside the church? It's time for you to get in the church. All in. Not staying on the outskirts. Not staying only on Facebook Live. It's time for you to get in and be a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You've checked us out long enough. It's time for you to make a decision. I'm getting to the house of the Lord. You know, we have a lot of people that view our broadcast just to see if I'm preaching it right. I am preaching it right. I love you, and I want to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen? This guy was carried daily to the gate of the temple. How could we ever allow this to happen of people that are constantly on the outside that want to come in? It's time to invite somebody. Come on, let me help you. I'm not going to place you at the doors. You come right on in. I don't care what you look like. Whether you can walk, whether you can't walk, you're on drugs, you're addicted to this, get in the house and get free. Amen. I was hoping that there would be some people come in. I remember one time when Pastor was traveling to somewhere, and a lady came in a wheelchair, glasses, couldn't walk, and we prayed for her. And it wasn't soon after that she no longer needed a wheelchair. Gave her heart to the Lord, and the Lord healed her. Another one in this church that didn't need a wheelchair. Does that happen for everybody? I don't know, but I know that those two it happened for. Time to lay hands on the sick so they shall recover. Amen. So verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Yeah, give me. See where we're right back at it? We're right back at a false, a substitute. Give me this, I'll be better. Give me some money, give me a house. No, we've got something you need that's more valuable than money.
Amen.
There's something here at the river that you need that's more than an apartment, that's more than a house, that's more, let's read and let's find out together. There's something inside of you, church family. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. You can give anybody a box of crackers and a box of cereal, but there's something in you that needs to be shared in this nasty, dark, evil world that we're living in. Come on, are you seeing the message yet? Hopefully I got your eyes to help you understand that you are separate from that, but yet you are needed, like Gideon, to go into this world and not doubt your calling and understand that not everyone is going to give their heart to Christ, but you keep going. You go to the next one. You go to the next one. You go to the next one. Are you right with the Lord? Do you want to get right with the Lord? Do you want change? Let me help you. So he got Peter and John got this guy's attention. In verse 4, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Look at me. Look at my lifestyle. Look at what we have to offer. Look at what we're doing. Look at the word. Look at the preaching. Look at the prayer. Look at what's happening. Can you not see there's change of who I used to be to today? Come on, somebody. How many of you are 180 from what used to be in your 20s?
Amen.
Yeah, praise God. You were on the potter's wheel, and now God brought you out of that mess. Look at this beautiful picture. You were prideful. You did evil in the sight of the Lord. You had all this junk, and God brought you out of this mess. Look at this picture. God brought you out of this mess, and this could have taken 1 year or 20 years. And God remolded you on the potter's wheel. And He's been shaping you, and all that bitter tongue and the lying and the insecurities and all the junk. And He just keeps shaping and polishing you through the Word. You keep coming to church and you're being blessed. And some of the thing is ouchy because he's polishing you with some higher grit sandpaper. That service kind of hurt a little bit. And that one felt good. I was good with that one. But boy, those other two services last time. Boy, the last time you ministered on Wednesday. Boy, that one got me. But now I'm feeling a little better. And now I've come out and been separate from that, only to be formed in His image so that you now can go back and share what's in you. The most beautiful story that there is, that you know what it's like to live that stuff. I talk about this evil world we're living in like it's the us and them. And really what it is I was them. I was lost. I was blind. But now I see. And now I'm being sent like you're being sent to help those see and have their scales off. And help them be on the potter's wheel, and help them humble themselves, and help them pray, and help them be in the Word of God. Are you seeing all the pictures? I'm throwing nuggets at you all the service here. Of helping you get to where God wants you to be, so you're equipped to be equipped with the tools that you need to train a child in the way they should go. Equipped to where you can lead your family the way you need to. Equipped to how you can be a mom and a dad like you need to be.
Amen.
All these things are what God has molded me over 20, 30 years, only so now I can give back. So He gave them His attention. I'm hoping I got your attention today, finally, It took me a while to get there, but maybe I put all the pieces together now, all the building blocks. Maybe I've just put the glue on the package there. So He gave them His attention, expecting to receive something from them. I wish I could get some people's attention. I'm hoping I got some people's attention today. I'm hoping that you'll share the broadcast and you'll do what you need to do to help someone get set free. Amen? Then Peter said, Peter, remember Peter, speaks then thinks Peter, the one that had to be restored three times Peter, the one that denied Christ three times and the rooster was crowing, that Peter, Is restoration available for you? Amen. Have you went too far? Have you said too much? Have you been out of church too much? God still restores.
Amen.
The ugliest of sin. The blood can wash away the dirtiness of all of us. And if we forget how ugly we really were, then we've missed it. And I say we've missed it because we're not to look down at anybody. It's easy to look at us and them, but the reality is we were them, and the Lord brought us out. And if He can do that for me, He can do that for them. If He can heal someone from alcoholism, He can do it for you. If he can break the chains of the addictions of drugs, alcohol, pornography, all the weird stuff out there, all the perverted stuff, if God can break someone of that, if God can get someone out of a wheelchair and walking and doing more things and busier than I am, if God can heal someone of cancer, He can still. Don't tell me that my God can't, because He can. Those things might be ugly and evil and all that, but don't look down your nose, because some of us were in that pig's pen and God brought us out, and now it's time to go get our friends and our family and help them, because there's something in us that must be shared. And here is the picture. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. I'm willing and unashamed." If you're unashamed of the gospel, you're not going to get to anywhere I'm talking about today. If you're having concerns about who you are and your call, and you're having problems in prayer, and you're having problems in the home, you're going to have problems getting ready to distribute that which is in you, and it's time to get back on the potter's wheel and say, "I want more of you, Lord." Humble yourself, pray, seek His face. We're in September now. We're getting ready to start a class here in September. You can't give away what you don't have. Come on. You've got to know that you know that you know who lives inside of you. And be unashamed of the fact that I was a sinner. I repented. I turned from my wicked ways. I have Jesus in my heart. Do I mess up? Yes. Am I perfect? No. But I love the Lord. And I know what He did for me. And if He can help me, He can help you. And you can tell your testimony. How do you overcome? By the word of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb, right? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What's God done for you? I'm prepping you. What has God done for you? Right? He's my everything. Well, what's that mean? Let's talk. I'll bring you a cup of coffee. And Peter says, "Silver, gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you." I'm willing to share that free gift. It costs Jesus everything, but it's a free gift. All you got to do is receive. And he says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up. Lift that head of yours. Amen. And he took him by the right hand and helped him, lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, you know, his flesh got in line with the Word of God, didn't it? Sometimes you need to tell this flesh to get in line with the Word of God. When you're not feeling so good, when you don't want to come to church, when you don't want to pray, sometimes you got to tell this flesh Flesh, we're going to church.
Amen.
Flesh, I'm taking time to pray.
Amen.
Flesh, I'm going out to see who I can bless today.
Amen.
Flesh, I'm getting up in the morning, read my Bible.
Amen.
Flesh, I'm not going to bed till I read my Bible.
Amen.
Now I know sometimes it's hard to read, but let me tell you. Let me give you a life's instance so I can tell you with all honesty what I did this week. I grabbed my audio Bible on my way to work and at lunch and by my home time. I listened to 40 chapters of Book of Psalms in one day. Not to make me look good or make me look any better than anybody else. It was to see what it took to listen to the Word of God on my downtime. Driving to work, listening to the Word of God. On my lunch hour, which is my time to do with, right? When I'm at work, I'm doing work. But when it's my time, it's my time. Listening, 40 minutes of the Word of God. On the way home, another 30 minutes, listening to the Word of God. 40 chapters of the Book of Psalms. You can do it. You can do it. Get your headset in. Get your earbuds. Listen to the Word of God. Get a cycle going and get it in you. You can't give it away if you don't get it in you. Hello? I'm closing with this. It's okay. I'm only teaching this because I have to do it. I know Pastor does it. I know Brother Luke does it. It's tough sometimes. It's tough to get up at 5 in the morning and spend 20 minutes in your Word. I get it. It's a discipline. Didn't the Bible say, though, go and make disciples? Not converts, disciples. You know who are disciples? Disciplined in the Word. Amen? I'm still learning. Don't think I got it all figured out. But I have mighty men that keep me accountable, that are examples to me. Amen? So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, that was a change. He went from outside begging to inside praising, leaping, dancing, happy. I'd say that's a pretty miraculous change.
Amen.
And so did the people around him. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. You know, your witness is a lot stronger than you think. Your actions speak far louder than your words. I can tell you I'll help you anytime I want. But showing up makes a difference, doesn't it? I can tell you that we love you all we want, but we'd really like to show you. I can tell you that God still heals. I can tell you that God still delivers. But it hits home when you can see the change.
That's right. Amen.
I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not who I used to be.
Right.
Thank God for that. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Filled with wonder and amazement. What happened to this guy? What happened to that guy? You know what? He died. When I got baptized, I repented, I turned, gave my heart to Christ. In the water, it's a symbolism. It's a dying to self. It's like I'm showing an outward change to the world that says I made a confession for Christ in the water, up anew. You see, I'm not who I used to be. You're not who you used to be. And it's time for us to show some people. I can talk all I want. But it's when we show love that it matters, doesn't it?
Amen.
When we help out is when it matters. I can tell my son, how much I love him. But it's through showing. Then you really see. I can tell everyone watching how wonderful it is here, and signs and wonders and the people and all that. But you really find out when you get here. You find out when you hope that you never go through a problem, but when you do have a problem, you have people to show up and chip in when you need it. Is this world in trouble? Yeah. But you know what? God placed you here for a time just like this.
Amen.
He must think that you're pretty awesome.
Yes.
He must think of the big game. And I'm getting ready to close. The third closing. Trust me. I'm done with this. If we're living in the times we're living in, and things are as important as they are right now, and you know that the ark has been built and the door's getting ready to close, how awesome is it that he's been molding you for all this time to prepare you for the final quarter? You must be a pretty big deal. That we're going to put the best in right at the last, and we're going to help them get into the ark. And I hope something today has encouraged you. I hope through all the pieces and the analogies and the different levels, I think I spoke on about four or five different levels today, of helping you get to where God wants you to be, where God wants me to get to. I'm still on the potter's wheel myself, being molded in his likeness and his image, his actions and his thoughts. And I pray that if there's one at the sound of my voice that doesn't know the Lord, that they would take heed to this word and repent and turn and get in the house. For there's no other name by which man must be saved, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life. And if somebody wants change, all you got to do is get in. But if you're having trouble getting in, there's a whole group of us here with our hand to help you. All you got to do is want it. That's all I didn't know how to get there either. But I knew something had to change. I knew that there was abundant life because I saw people and I was amazed how people have abundant life. How can I get there? How can I get there? Help me to get there. And that's what we offer here at the River.
Amen.
We offer that help, knowing that it's tough, knowing that there's a season of hopelessness, knowing that there's a season of lack, that there's trouble, but there's a reason why there's trouble. Come. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good, because he's been good for me. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at the River.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.